Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I continue a study in Numbers 16, the rebellion and grumbling that are carried on by members of the tribe of Levi, the priests Korah and Abihu. They led 250 elders and priests to rebel against Moses. They demonstrated a spirit of pride against Moses' leadership and came against the anointing of God. It's important that you don't come against a leader in the church. Leave that to Holy Spirit. Darren reminds us that God is a God of mercy and loving kindness. And because he does not lie, he will always give you the truth. Darren quotes Galatians 6:7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." And then he adds that you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequence. Now let's join the program.
Well, we're ready to go for it today in the book of Numbers. We kicked it off yesterday, and then we got that marvelous phone call from Ron in California that really blessed me, and I think a bunch of other folks got blessed. I got phone calls out of Oregon. They said they were blessed, and I know people here in Colorado were blessed, and so we so much appreciate Ron calling in, but especially his testimony.
Yes, and we can always continue teachings when you call and we are live again. Some people say, are you live every day? We're alive every day when we do this radio program. We're alive 5 days a week, but today we're here in the studio. This teaching in Numbers is terrific, though, Darren. It gives you a little look into what pride does in a person's life. Pride and grumbling and complaining and exalting ourselves above our brothers and sisters, it only leads to destruction. And this is a really important lesson for those of us who want to know God's ways. Korah was not doing God's way. He definitely was not.
Well, he was a part of the priesthood, right?
Yes,
he
was.
He was the son of the priest, and
yes,
his father
Levite,
was
of the tribe of Levite.
Who was his father?
His father was Izhar, and he was a son of Kohath and a son of Levi. So he was a great-great-grandson of Levi.
Would we say they're in the Levitical priesthood?
Yes.
Well, I tell you, I think it's also a caution that you can be close to the Lord. You can have seen things that God did. You maybe even have heard his voice.
Well, like you said,
you can still be in trouble.
Like you said, they went up into the mountain with Moses. He was up in the mountain, wasn't he, with Moses? No, he wasn't the one. Who was the one with Moses? The other two that died. Oh, yes, Aaron's sons, the other two. Yes, Aaron's sons.
And I want to say Nahor, but I'll look it up for you.
Well, there were 70, though. So
yes, well, they could have been in that group.
This could have been, yes, Korah could have been in this group because there was a group of 250 who rebelled. They rebelled against Moses. They say, so why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? And wherever there's that attitude of, what do you call that? It's a deep jealousy, of course, for that person's leadership, that person's title. But more than that, it's a rebellion against the Lord himself.
Well, it was Nadab and Abihu in Exodus 24.
Yes.
They went there, they saw God, and they heard his voice. And yet they fell away later on. And some of you, I think, you've taken the old camp meeting experiences for granted. You know, Holy Spirit was there. Man, we had a great time. And I'm sure you did. But that doesn't carry over for tomorrow. You have to continue to refresh yourself from the Lord, or you will fall away. And I want to say this over and over here in the Old Testament. When they came against God's man, like Moses, for example, in the rendering we're going to be talking about here in Numbers, and God said, they came against me. He didn't say, when he got after him, he didn't say, they came against you, Moses, or against you, Aaron. God spoke and he said, they came against me. And then God, in some cases, he brought immediate judgment. And I want to see the video of that when I get to heaven. I'm sure they've got videos.
Yes.
Sure, I want to see that.
Moses said to Korah here in the 9th verse of chapter 16, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation? I mean, is that not enough to you, the authority that he's given you? And now you all also want to take my position in the priesthood. And Darren, you know that God's a very organized God. He has different levels of authority. He has an order about things. And it makes it better for everybody around. But Korah wanted to take everything.
Well, you know, and I'm going to say another thing here. Now, we're talking about a man that had been specifically called to serve in the ministry of the tabernacle. But all of you, some of you lay people, and this is just why I'm going to say this right now. I just know the Holy Spirit saying, tell me to tell you this. Some of you think, well, I haven't been called. I haven't been ordained. I haven't been set aside. I'm not a pastor. I'm not in the priesthood, so to speak. I'm not called to be a teacher. But I'll tell you, he calls you to come close to him as a child. You are his children. And that's not going to let you off the hook here just because you aren't in the priesthood or a teacher or an evangelist or something. You still are going to be held accountable for that relationship with him.
That's right. And Paul said we're all called to be ministers. And I truly believe that, Darren. Now then Moses, he changes his attention to Dothan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. And he says, I want you to come. He sent him a summons. And they said, we will not come. And in verse 13, they said, is it not enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Now, was that land flowing with milk and honey?
Well, the wilderness wasn't.
Absolute lie. Well, no, but the country they came from, Egypt, was not flowing with milk and honey.
Well, but they had more in Egypt than they had, you know, they had the vending machines.
Oh, yeah, right.
They didn't have out here in the wilderness. But they were really mocking Moses' leadership and God's ordination on where they were and what they were to do.
Yes, they would. So they said, we're not going to come. Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, do not regard their offering. I mean, Moses is just to the quick. He's saying, Father God, don't even regard their offering. Their offering is nothing. I'm not even going to pay attention to their offering at all. What a sad thing, because in those days the offering was representative of the man himself to God. And they all gave their offerings to God as a sweet aroma before him. And so what Moses was saying is, forget about him, Lord. Just forget about him. And it says, I have not taken a single donkey from them, nor have I done harm to any of them. Moses is telling God that I have been an honest man, full of integrity and honesty before you, Lord, and before these people.
You know how many times that Moses interceded for the people? There were a couple of times when God was mad, says, I'm going to burn them all up and we'll start over. And Moses said, oh, wait a minute, remember who you are. He didn't say, remember who I am or about the people. He said, God, remember your character and your nature, and that's not your nature. And he was a true intercessor there. He stood between the anger of God and the people.
That's right. Talk
about a tough spot to be in. And he was appealing to God. And folks, I want to tell you, this is a great intercessory moment for you. Or let me say it this way. This is a revelation truth you need to hold on to. When you stand and remind God of who he is, he likes that. For example, if you don't get your harvest, take Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God, if I don't get a harvest, I prayed over my seed. I know it's live seed. I know I planted it in good soil. Now you're on the hook, and I'm not going to see you mocked here because your truth, your integrity, you're pure. I believe that's what Moses was saying many times in the Old Testament. God, remember who you are.
Yes,
it's we stand on your integrity, on your reputation, on your holiness, not on ours, because we don't have it.
Thank you, Lord. You do have.
And I believe that as we hold on to Scripture, Barbara, and we stand there, that's one great way to intercede. And we need to be remembrancers. Now, that is taken from the word remember. We need to call God to remembrance. Look who you are. Look what you said. We're standing on your word, which is holy and true and will never be altered. You tell us that. Now, since that is truth, then we're expecting a result based on your integrity. To me, that is a tremendous way to really intercede and a way to stand the battle. Because the devil's going to come and say, well, that didn't work. And you can say, listen, devil, God is not a man that he should lie. Where is that scripture, Barbara? We talked about that earlier today.
It's coming up in our devotions, and it's number 20. In fact, we're reading it right now. It's Numbers 23:19.
Okay.
Yeah, 23:19.
Read that for us, would you?
God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent? Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?
Now, that's where you can stand and say, God, I know you won't change your covenant. You said that. And I know that you're not a liar. I know that you are truth. Now, a man can lie, but Lord God, you can't lie.
Yes.
And I've often asked the Holy Spirit of truth. I said, listen, I know that you don't lie. You can't lie. You don't want to lie. So give me truth.
Yes.
Well, here the scripture is saying right here, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a man that he should repent. Based on that, we can stand on scripture and say, thank you, Lord. This is your intention. I'm standing in your intentions. I'm taking your offer. I'm standing on your promises. Therefore, I'm expecting the manifestation of what we're talking about here.
Yes. Praise God.
I think that's calling God to remember.
It is. And Moses drew a line here, Darren. Now, these guys were relatives. They were all of the tribe of Levi. Moses came from a Levite man and a Levite woman. He was thoroughly Levite. And these men came from the tribe of Levite. So here they were cousins. Now, sometimes people, they get caught up in their relatives' problems and situations. They don't draw that line and say, you know what? You're over across the line, and I'm serving God. I'm not going to serve you. And just like Moses said, you know, Lord, don't regard their offering. They're sinning. They're coming against you in rebellion.
I think the concept you're talking about is blood is thicker than water. Now, that's what we would say today.
Now, some people, they really believe their relatives are more important.
But this is my cousin, or this is my brother, this is my child, or this is my parents. We've got to take the principles of Scripture ahead of that.
Absolutely,
and that's what we're really saying here. Moses didn't capitulate on his calling and say, well, God, cut him a deal because, you know, they're my cousins.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I know they're on the inside track, so they need special privilege. God said, I have no favorites. I don't have any favorites. They've all got to go by the same rules and the same ways and ordinances Moses was talking about here. So what happened to these guys that rebelled, Barb?
Well, Moses presented a situation where they were very familiar with. He says, I want you to bring your censers, and I want you to come before the Lord tomorrow, you along with Aaron. And Aaron, of course, was the high priest here. And the next day they all took their own censers and put fire in it and laid incense in it, and they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And the Lord spoke to Moses here, and in verse 21 he says, separate yourselves from among the congregation that I may consume them instantly. But they fell on their faces and said, O God, thou God of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, wilt thou be angry with the entire congregation? Here's an example of what you said. When he interceded for the people, God wanted to get rid of the whole congregation. And Moses here comes again and says, oh Lord, you don't want to do away with everybody just because of a few people's rebellion. And then the Lord said to Moses, speak to the congregation, saying, get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Darren, this is so sad, because these prideful men, these arrogant men, they come to their tents with their families, their little children, their babies, and they just, it's like spitting in the face of God. And they're standing there in their arrogance and thinking that they're going to miss something. I mean, God is going to pass them by with the judgment. He's not.
Well, I think what they've done is in almost what Satan did in heaven. They're coming against the Holy One, and they think they're going to win. How stupid. You know, they think, well, now, you know, and folks, I want to say this today, and we've got this in our culture today out of the athletics, I believe. You know, some of the brands of shoes and clothes and so on, you got to have an attitude. Well, they had an attitude, and that attitude they had was wrong. And you're going to find out here, folks, and you ought to read this. If you're not even following along with us in the Word Power for Every Hour, in other words, you're reading along with us every day, you ought to get this out. Read Numbers 15, chapter 16, chapter 17. You will see how God operates.
Yes, and there are some people that do believe they cannot be brought down. They are so arrogant and prideful, they don't believe that anybody can take them down.
Well,
and
I
that
think,
is sad.
I think some of them think that they're self-determined people. They make all the decisions, you know, and all stops here, folks.
Well,
I'm number one now. Just watch me operate.
Well, here they did. They, the leaders of this 250 men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and there was one other. They were standing at the doorway of the tent with their wives and little ones, their children. And Moses said in verse 28 of Numbers 16, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds. Now, he wasn't putting himself up as Lord over them. In fact, God said that he was the humblest man on the face of this earth in Numbers 12:3. So we know that's not what Moses' objective was here. He was telling these people that God's justice is going to reign supreme, and he is going to put down any rebellion and sin, and Moses is not going to have a part in this rebellion and sin. So here he says to them, if these men die the death of all men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, that's hell, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord.
And what he was saying is they don't die by natural causes.
Yes.
If they die a supernatural death because it was something I do.
And it was Moses who actually spoke the punishment for these men. Moses' mouth. And it reminds me, Darren, of Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Now, this was a weapon that was forming against Moses and the authority that God had given him. Moses didn't have this authority on his own. God gave it to him. And that's why we need to respect leadership in the body of Jesus Christ. And it's in Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that judges you, you will condemn. You will. And so Moses here is condemning them by a kind of a punishment that they're going to go through.
Well, I think he was speaking judgment on their heads. Hmm. But verse 31, then it came about as he finished speaking all these words, talking about Moses, that the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth, swallowed them up and their household and all the men who belonged to Korah and their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into hell, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, the earth may swallow us up. What they were saying, we're done for too. Then fire came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he shall take up the censers out of the midst of the blaze, for they are holy, and you scatter the burning coals abroad. For the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered sheets for a plating of the altar. Since they did not present them before the Lord, they are holy, and they shall be assigned to the sons of Israel. Now, I believe God was saying, here's what happens, guys. And you know, I see people get attitudes against ministers of the gospel. They see more the flesh of the minister than the calling on the minister's lives. In fact, this week I had breakfast with my best friend, and he was talking about how Christians often are worse than the world to deal with. And I believe many times those Christians cause us to look askance at God himself. And we need to be careful of judging God by what we see in his servants.
Yes.
And because I tell you, a spirit of mockery is at the door. You know, it's like a spirit of bitterness is at the door. That's talked about in Scripture. In Hebrews 12:15, you know, let not a spirit of, what is that?
Hebrews.
Spirit of anger.
Bitterness.
Bitterness is at the door, ready to destroy you. You can't allow that to come in and to have that in your heart, because, and it goes on to say, by it many are defiled. You need to really watch your attitude, particularly if a man of God or woman of God lets you down. Don't,
that's right.
Don't buy the lie.
And if we call ourselves believers and our language is as bad or worse than the world, then we need to be accountable. We really do. We need to have somebody make us accountable, not only to ourselves, but those around us who we influence. And some of you have garbage mouths. You really do. And you are influencing people around you. And I noticed, Darren, here, as they died, there was no mourning here. I mean, they deservedly were sent down to Sheol, which is, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the hell they had when Jesus died and rose again, because it's kind of a holding cell. And we find that because the people did not know of salvation then, but after Jesus died on the cross and rose again, I believe these people had an now, Dr. Zodiati says nobody has a second chance, but I believe these people who lived in the Old Testament, and I disagree with him there, have a second chance. And when Jesus went down for three days and three nights into the center of the earth as he spoke that he would. I believe that he spoke to some of these people, and I pray that they received him then, because if they didn't, they are bound to an eternity forever of hell.
I think this scripture I alluded to in Hebrews 12:15 relates to this concept here, at least in spirit. It says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You need to be real careful who you follow. If there's a rebel that's against the leadership in your church, be careful.
Yes.
It says, touch not my anointed. And what God is really saying, in a sense, is touch not my anointing on that person. And sometimes if you look at their clothing, or whether they wear a robe or not is not the point, but if you touch their shirt or their suit jacket or whatever, in a sense, you're touching the covering that God has put on that life. And that person may be way off the track, but that calling is not defiled. That's God's calling. That's God's anointing on their life. And I would say it, I think you could read it like this. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of pride or anger or bitterness or jealousy or self-righteousness comes up against leadership, and by it many to be defiled. And I've seen them lead half a church off, split a church right down the middle.
Yes, I have. And remember the time that Benny Hinn was here in the Denver area, and we had a man who called himself a Christian, and he had placards outside of the Coliseum, and I know that you read some of those placards. I didn't even want to read them, but what were some of the things that were
weren't just placards. They were 4x8 sheets of plywood, and one of them said, miracles for sale inside. Well, I mean, I'm surprised that fire didn't come out of heaven and toast those guys.
But I want to say, this man, who was well-known in the area, we haven't heard anything about him since. And I believe, Darren, that they get theirs. I asked God to judge his words in righteousness that night, because, of course, Benny isn't perfect. He's not perfect. No human being is perfect. But what Benny is doing is honorable before God. And how dare we put ourselves up like Korah and Nadab and Abihu, how we put ourselves up against somebody like that. And I believe that man is getting his. I pray he's confessed, but if he hasn't, God is going to judge him severely.
Well, let me tell you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences.
Oh, that is so good.
I heard that from a dear pastor's wife one time, and it was just precious. I remember that. All of us have chosen our sin from time to time, but you can't choose your consequences. Oh, God, I want the owie to stop the next day. I want to sin today, and I know I'll endure some pain, but I want to be over tomorrow by noon. Doesn't work that way.
What did Korah think he was going to accomplish by coming against Moses here? What did he think he was ultimately going to accomplish?
You know, that was really an insurrection of sorts. But Moses had to put up with that. With the heart of the people were very fleshly from time to time. You know, they said, oh, wish we were back in Egypt with the leeks and the garlic and the good life. Well, there wasn't the good life back there. They were slaves.
I know.
They didn't even have a day off. You know, God instituted the holy day after they left there and said, well, you have one day to rest. What would happen if you had never had a day off in 40 years? And some of those people didn't have. Every day you go to work. You don't have a holy day where you can go and worship or go and rest. You know, God said, listen, I want you to stay in your tent. I don't want you to run around the village and all this stuff. I want you to have that day with me. And, you know, we violate that so many times.
Well, and people that call the Sabbath, they aren't without activity in their life. In fact, sometimes the Sabbath is the most active day in the whole week. Now, do we call that the day of the Lord? No, God doesn't see that as a day of the Lord, because in the Old Testament he says, I don't want you doing anything. I want you to spend your entire time with me in my presence. We don't do the Sabbath the way God wanted us to. We really don't, Darren.
See, my answer to that is this. Some people come and say, well, don't you think you ought to worship on Saturday or another day of the week, or shouldn't you start your celebration at sundown Friday night and end at sundown Saturday night? I say, listen, I try to treat every day as holy under the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to set aside one day and say this is more holy than another. I am believing, you know, when it says this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad therein. He makes a brand new day for us every day.
But are these people making the Sabbath the true Sabbath by running in their cars, going to the synagogue, dancing in the spirit, working their, you know, legs off in classes and doing real work? And God ordered that the true Sabbath be a day of complete rest. That is, without any activities. No going to the restaurants, no eating, because they made their food the night before to eat the next day. I don't know.
Well, some people work so hard on Sunday, and I've teased them every once in a while by saying this. I'd ask them a question. Why did God put 6 days between Sundays? And they said, "Oh, I don't know why." I said, "So you can get over Sunday." And sometimes they go to church and they get in church fights and politics and all this kind of stuff, and they really work themselves in the flesh, in the quote unquote, in the name of the Lord, and they have to go back to work to get refreshed. I mean, they have to go back to the regular routine. I believe, sad, folks, we need to sit down and say, what are we doing?
Barbara and
I have to say that now about this ministry God's put us in. Why are you working so hard? God was speaking to me this morning about that very thing. In fact, I got up early and he was speaking to me and saying, you know, I want you to take some time. I want you to come aside. I want you to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Well, if God loves us, Abba Father, like he says he does, then he misses us.
Yes.
In fact, I think we ought to put up on a big billboard someplace where a lot of people would see it. Call home, Abba.
Well, I'm ordering you to take some time this weekend.
Are you?
By yourself. Yes, I know that you really need a refreshing, because you do need a refreshing. And after our seminar Friday night and Saturday, I'm going to let you do that.
Really?
Yes.
Well, who drives home? Who puts away the stuff?
I will drive home. But no, after the seminar, and we're going to have a seminar, and we are looking so forward to the seminar, and we're going to go through our Stepping into Freedom manual. Hopefully, at least 2/3 of it.
I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this to be self-indulgent. But what we put in this manual are revelations that God's given me over the last 20 years that I've used in counseling people, I've used in messages and seminars and so on. We have it presented in what we call a PowerPoint presentation on a screen. And you will also have an opportunity to buy a manual, and you can have that on your lap, and you can have something to take home. And I recommend you do that, because you can write right on the book. It's yours.
It's yours.
And then you can take it home with you. And you'll have your own reference library there, and there's a ton of stuff. I mean, we have packed that thing with concepts. This was harder, Barbara, to put out than writing 5 books and publishing them. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, and like Ron said about it, he went over the manual with his mother-in-law because they had a little unforgiveness there in their lives, and they went over that cycle of forgiveness. There are so many rich revelatory teachings in that, and you can go out there and reach your loved ones and neighbors with that.
Yeah, and also if you have a fractured heart because you've perhaps been married before, or there's been numerous relationships in your life, it's not all over. There's a way to get your stuff back and to send theirs back, and that's covered in this manual. You need that. Also, we go through the concept of washing your hands and having clean hands and a pure heart. Then the diagram on the cycle of guilt. You need to get off of that cycle and get over here into forgiveness. And we'll show you how to forgive others that have hurt you, yourself, and God. And many of you have really, you're holding grudges on all 3 levels. Human level, to yourself, and to the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in